Okay, so we're doing the second parak in Kehillim. So, yeah, this is the second week, so we did a little bit already. But, okay, so what do we have to do here? Yeah, so we mentioned last week a little bit about the Kli Cheres, that becomes Tomei from the inside, from the Avir. And that glass, even though it's a Gzeira from the Kli Cheres, it becomes Tomei from the outside. The carrots from the inside and the glass even from the outside. Alright. So we'll start with the next case now. Kli cheres or kli neser. Tumos and shove. Ram has a very long description of the kli neser. What's the kli neser? What do you guys have from? What are you reading from? You have the Tafach? You want to try to read it? Yeah, so he says that it's a very soft neser, is a very soft rock that it will melt. It actually melts when you wash with it in water, right? And people use it as a shampoo and as a laundry detergent, right? It's included with borus, like a soap. I'm not sure what type of material this is, though. Maybe. Limestone? Maybe. I have no idea. Go ahead. Okay, so he says, Rams is very difficult to make. Because they mix it, or they knead it. I'm not sure what the proper word would be. And they make from it jugs for water, like they make out of pot, out of cheres. So what is cheres? How do you make, what is cheres? Anybody know these things? You seem to know more than anyone else. Earthenware. And where does earthenware come from? From the earth. So what is it? It's like a clay? What is it? Alright. Go ahead. He describes a little bit over here. Right, so to make, when we make pottery, we make cheres, so they put it in a very hot fire. Right? They put it in the kiln. Very hot fire. But this stuff, the neser, doesn't handle the fire as well. Okay. Right? So it's very hard to make the Rambam says, because if you heat it up too much, it breaks when you're making it. And if you don't heat it up sufficiently, it will melt when you put the water in it. Okay, it's got to be just right. Right, so why bother with such difficult kalim? Why bother? So, he says they need them for drinking, because they're very sweet. Apparently they have some medicinal value. People drink from them. I don't know exactly. The orev ma'od. They're very pleasant. Berecho tov. Huh? Yeah. He says it's good for the digestion, right? He says it's good for the digestion. Chalushei ha'atzdumka. Isn't that... Okay, so it takes an expert to make this cup. Because it has to have... It has to still be like the raw neser. It has to have the qualities of the raw neser, but it has to be strengthened so that it won't melt. Right? It's a very precise process. Go ahead. Right. So they have to make it very thin because you want it to be heated evenly. You have to get the heat, it has to reach the inside. Okay, go ahead. They look the same. Okay, so why is the Rambam going into all of this? That's the problem, right? Well, what's this whole long description for? Because he wants to explain to you the Chiddush of the Mishnah. What's the Chiddush of the Mishnah? That the Kli Neser is like a Kli Cheres. So what's the Havamina? Because he says, since these Kalim, the fire doesn't reach them, the fire doesn't have dominion over them. Meaning what? It doesn't change them. Right? You have to heat them up, But the heating them up doesn't change their appearance. They look the same, fresh and raw and cooked. They look the same. So what would you think? So a kli adama is not makabel tuma. A kli adama is not makabel tuma, and a kli cheres is makabel tuma. A kli neser is not mentioned in the Torah. So the question is, what is a kli neser? Is it like a kli adama, or is it like a kli cheres? So he says, you would have thought, you might have thought that it's like a kli adama. Why? What is a kli adama? I guess you take mud and you let it bake in the sun, and like an adobe.
Huh?
Maybe that's clay. Yeah. No, kli cheres is not. Kli cheres is where you put it into the oven and you cook it really hard.
Oh, but it still could come from the ground.
Yeah, sure. Kli cheres comes from the ground. That's right. So what is adama? Adama is an unprocessed. Right? Is unprocessed. That's why you would think maybe these are not considered processed. Right? Cheres is apparently the fullest. What is. Cheres is apparently the fullest processed. Fully processed. Adama is just. It just dries out. But. Kli Neser, you would not have known. He says, "Lefikach hishmianu shekevan shem meikoron tit." They're really mud. Kvar nitzrfu ba'esh, but they are processed with the fire. I mean, nitzrfu is one of those words of means like refined or it's a term of like a smith, you know. I don't know exactly what the proper term would be over here, but they're rarefied in the fire. Afal pi shehu tziruf kal, arei kucheres tzadzichesh. Even the tziruf kal. So the mitzvos are with tzareifes abrios, right? Mitzvos are purify the person. But anyway, so it's some transformative process of an uman is a mitzarif. Amru b'sifro of kli v'chol kli cheres lerabos kli neser. Okay, so that's the reboy. Kol kli cheres, all processed. Kol kli cheres meaning all types of cheres. All types of processed dirt. Right? What would have? Apparently, one way. It's just a question of what's the definition of kli cheres, and what's the definition of kli cheres. Without the riboy of kol kli cheres, you would say that it has to be similar to kli cheres in all the manners, in every manner. The riboy is saying, even though it's not ha'esh oletas bohen. Since it's nitzrfu beish, then it's like a kli cheres. So what are the two ways of defining kli cheres over here? The category of kli cheres. Right, that's the question here, the category of kli cheres. Right. So maybe it's like this, that if you just said kli cheres, right, so kli cheres would mean that the ash is really producing a new substance. I'm saying that we say it's a different. We don't. What does it mean, kli adama and kli cheres, right? Kli adama means to say that it's basically adama. The substance never. The substance just doesn't change. Right? It's just adama formed in a usable way. But essentially, it's still the raw material of adama. Cheres is a new thing already; it's a new substance. Right, the fire turns it into a different thing. Correct, and that's part of it is that the Eish is Sholet. That's what he means by the Eish is Sholet Bayan. The Eish turns it into a new thing, just like wood turns into coal from a fire. Right? If you take certain types of dirt, you burn it really hard, it turns into a new thing. And how do you know it's a new thing? It doesn't look anything like it did before. That's part of it, it's one of its qualities. It's one of the transformations. So Kli Cheres would mean, would essentially be a substance. It would be that it's a substance, it's a Kli made out of the substance produced through fire. Right? That's what Cheres is. So the Kamash Malan is that Kli Cheres doesn't mean a new kind of a substance. That's not what it includes. But it means something whose substance is produced through the Eish, but whose function is produced through Eish. It doesn't have to be that the substance turns over. It has to be that it gains qualities through Eish. Okay? It's not a question of turning into another thing in terms of substance. This gain, it has to gain quality, it's that the Eish processes it in terms of its function, not in terms of turning it into another substance. You understand what I'm saying? Like hardens it or something like that. But not that it's turning it from wood to coal. It's enough if the Eish is it fortifies it. So here, without the Eish, it would melt. With the Eish, it won't melt. So the Eish made a qualitative change. That's all you need. Even a qualitative change in the way that it functions. Not that it turns it into another. Not that Cheres is not a new is not the category of Kli Cheres is not a new substance produced by Eish, but a new function realized by Eish. Okay. But if, so he says, so Nataram gives you a general rule. Anytime you have a Kli that's made out of some type of dirt, right? Some type of a dirt. If it's not fired, if it's not processed, then it's just a Kli Adama. But if it is, even though it's not Sovel the Eish, Ad she yischasem charson kamo cheres shar kli cheres. Even though it doesn't become strong like a regular kli cheres, then it's still a kli cheres. Right? Harein ki kli cheres, and that's called the kli neser. Okay, so that's a klal. That's the klal. That's the difference between kli adama and kli neser. Has to be some sort of a fire process. It doesn't have to be full that it really turns it into a new substance, but has to be improved by it. Go ahead. Nothing really happens. It's not nitzrifu. Right. Nitzrifu means a process that of improvement. Okay. It's used like by silver, they call it refining, mm-hmm. smelting, whatever they call that. Zulasam me'aviram. Okay, now going back to the Mishnah. So the Kli Cheres and the Kli Neser become Tamei and are Matamei other things through their Avir.
The Avir is qualifying the Mitam also, right?
Both of them, right.
Masha Kli Cheres Mistam Avir Azulvah Amri Saleh O Kli Cheres Asher Yipol Mehem Otoko.
So that's derived from the pasuk that we did last week, that the kli cheres here yipol mehem el tocho. So the avir is considered the toch. The avir is the toch. Doesn't mean the bottom of the cup. The avir is part of the toch. So it says so Chazal learn that it becomes Tomei through its Toch. And it doesn't become Tomei through its exterior. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's the same thing. It means the same thing over here. That from the inside it becomes tamei, and not migabo. Rambam's trying to show you something here. One time it says me'achorov, and one time it says migabo. Okay. That's what he's trying to show you. He's just trying to show you that even though the Mishnah uses two terms, Achorov and Gabo, it means the same exact thing. The back and both means the outside. Okay? Just trying to clear up that confusion in the Mishnah. You'll see, I think the other Mefarshim say there's a difference, that they refer to different things. But the Rambam is saying they refer to the same thing. Just means it's just two different terms for the not the inside. Go ahead. Right, so other kelim are not that way. If the tuma just came in the avir but didn't touch the substance, they would be tahor. Vim nago b'ena tuma. And if the tuma touched them, even if it only touched them on the outside, they would be the kelim would be tamei, right? So that's what it says in Chulin. That what ha tohar b'kli cheres, tamei b'kli b'chol hakelim, va tamer b'chol hakelim, tamei b'kli cheres. So it's opposite. That which makes the kli has a star first. That which is tohar and a kli cheres, which would be touching the outside, right, is tamei on all the other kelim. And that which is tohar and all the other kelim, which would be to just be in the avir, is tamei in kli cheres. Okay. Go ahead. Let's finish this up, and then we'll maybe we'll speculate a little. Go ahead. Yeah, there are a lot of strange dinim by the kli cheres. Okay, it never becomes an avatoma, even if it touches a mace. It's always vladatoma. Okay, go ahead. So the kli cheres is always a rishon, or always a vlad, and so a vlad can't be metame another kli, right? It's only metame ochlim and mashkin. This is also all from that Rashi last week. So when it says that it's metame from the avir, in yano shemigia ochlim torim o mashkin torim avir kli cheres atame nitmu. Right, it's not talking about that it'll be matame of the kalim through its avir. It means it'll be only be matame ochlim and mashkin. Go ahead. Right, because now the Rambam is explaining. What does it mean? Umitamin meachol rehen. Means to say, if the kli cheres is also can be matame food and drink from it through its back. If the kalim were tameh and they touched food or mashkin that were tahorin with the outside of the kli, nitmu ha'ochlin o ha'mashkin. Okay, that's how he's learning. Umitamin me'achorehen, that the kli cheres, although it only becomes tameh through the avir, it can be mitameh other things through the back. Go ahead. Right, so he's learning ve'enam mitame migabeyan means it doesn't become tame through the back, right? Right, it was the sheretz touch the back of the outside of the kli. It doesn't become tame. Hine nesbar, good. Right. So that's it. It only becomes tamei through the inside, not through the outside. V'tumasu l'mashu matamei, but its tuma to what it is metame, tiyeh me'aviru migavo. That's from both. Right? So the outside, so the way it becomes tame is different from the way it is metame. So what is that? Right. So you see from this that we can conclude one thing, is that when we say it only becomes tame through the toch, that doesn't mean that only the toch has the shame kli. Right? It's not like we only view it as an entity of toch. Because then why would it be metame through the back? But for some reason, even though it has a shame kli in the toch and the gav, but the way it becomes tame is through the toch, and the way it is metame is through the entire kli. Okay, so what? And the last thing is Shri Rasan Hita Rasan. You see, by the first one it says Nishbru Taharu, right? First one it says, by the other one it says Nishbru Taharu. Here it says Shri Rasan Hita Rasan. What's the difference? Nishbru Taharu means that's one of the ways it can become Tahar. If it breaks, it's Tahar. But if you put it in the mikvah, it's also Tahar. But here, the only way to be Matahir is through Shvira. That's the only Tahara. That's not really much of a tara. I mean, say it breaks the, as long as the shame kli is extant, it has no tara. I mean, really, there is no tara. As long as the shame kli is extant, it's tame.
You use those pieces, right?
That's the next Mishnah. What happens to the pieces? Pieces are also tame. Depends how small you break them. That's what depends how small it's broken. It depends how usable the pieces are. Okay, that's the first mission. Now you have, who's got the Gemara? See the Rash or the Rush. They both have a different pirish on mitamin me'achorein. Anyone else want to read that? Nimtza tuma. Yeah, so the other Mefarshim, the Rush, on the Mishnah, they learn mitamin me'achorein differently. And the Rambam's learning it, just to recap, the Rambam's learning it what? Mitamin me'achorein, meaning what? Mitamin, that they'll make things tame from their back. They're learning different girsa, that it becomes tame through its back. How's that possible? How's it possible? It says Eino mitamin bigabeyan. So they're learning achorehen and gabeyan means different things. Okay, so what's the case of mitamin meachorehen? They become tame through their achorehen. Go ahead. Read it again. Now what? Okay, from the outside. Okay. An indentation. So they're learning that, you ever see a what is it called, kesef, like the kesef? You ever see a silver kiddush cup, right? That has a stand, so it's hollow in the bottom. So some kalim have that underneath the kli, where the kli rests on the table, has a hollow indentation. Okay, if tumma goes into that hollow indentation, their learning also becomes tummy. That's achorehen. That's right. So it's a question: how many dimensions does a kli have? Two or three?
Like,
right.
The inside of the outside.
It's the back of the inside, right? It's the what does he say? Mibachutz, achorein mibachutz. He says it's the outside. He just wants you to know that it means the outside, but it's what? It's the base moshav. It's the chokok base moshav. It's the indentation of the base moshav. What do you call that? The base. All right. Pedestal is probably too.
So he's trying to make us close to the.
No.
Close to the what? Like the primary, like the front, like this one, like wide, like the
What do you mean? Well, we'll see. Why should this be? But why should this be? Why should this be? Why is it's just a funny shaped back? It's just a funny shaped back. Just because it has an indentation? So what? Go ahead. So that's the problem. So the problem is it says that the kisui is tor, but it has an indentation. It has a hollow indentation. Right? But that's different. That's the kisui itself. I'm trying to work out, there are problems with this svara. One of the problems is the kisui, because it has a hollow in it. So it says, no, that's different, because that's just the kisui, right? Go ahead, what else?
What's the kisui?
The cover. So the cover is just like a base. Go ahead. Strange. So he says, so why is this tamei and the kisui is not? Because if you have a cup that has a base kibul with an indentation in the bottom, sometimes you flip the cup over and you use the bottom. Right. So I'm not really 100% sure what he's saying in the next part. He's saying it's not fully the toch to be metame me'aviron midaraisa. Does he mean to say this is a gzera? This whole thing is a gzera, or the avir aspect would be a gzera? Because he says it's not listed together. It should be listed together. Mitamin. It doesn't have it listed together, right? It doesn't say what? Right. Right, so Mashri is saying that's only a Tumim Midrabanan. That what? So what Tumim Midrabanan is, even on the secondary, uses, usable, terminologies. No, the difference between the Rambam and this approach is twofold. First of all, he's trying to explain the difference between Achorayan and Gabayan. He's saying if the different terms, they should mean different things. They should refer to different parts of the Kli. So the gav of the kli is the outside, that which is perpendicular to its vertical. And achorei means upside down. In other words, one is outside and one is upside down. One is the outside and one is the bottom, right? That's one thing, but there's a much bigger difference. They actually have a different word in the Mishnah, right? Because the Rambam says mitamin me'achorei, meaning to say the Rambam learns that it makes things tamei from its back, from its outside, right? It makes things. It's talking about making things tamei. According to the other Mefarshim, it's really a continuation of it becomes tamei. It's a different word. That's the problem with this word. It's very subtle when it means becoming tamei and when it means making other things tamei. But anyway, yeah, go ahead. But it seems it's only midrabanan. Tamim darko. There's a psich of Rav Haigon to say the Tower. So he says, "Akel tamim darko baruch shmo melech malchei hamlochim shekol ma'isav timimos shenemar sur tamim polo." Bomarkel Tom Darko. Okay, fine. So he says like this. He says, "Imros Hashem, Imros Taros. Lo nitnu mitzvos li Yisrael el tzareif bohem es abrios." He says mitzvos are only given to Yisrael to improve the people. Ki v'chi ma ichbas lo lakosh baruch hu v'mishu shochet min atavro v'mishu shochet min haoreif. That's the medrash. Does the Kadosh Baruch Hu care if you do shechita from the neck or from the back? Havelo nitnu mitzvos elo l'tzayif bohen. L'tzach nemar imros Hashem srufa. Chein hu omer imros Hashem imros toros. Yep. So what does it mean to say? It means to say the Ram quotes us, right? That what? It's an interesting idea. This is a big philosophical question. You know, when you have a mitzvah, the particulars, right? The particulars have a philosophical importance. So he's saying that ma ichbas lo lakadosh baruch hu l'mishu shochet min hatzavro, mishu shochet min ha'orif. Let's put it this way: he's saying God doesn't care. makes no difference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu if the animal is killed through the neck or through the back. Lo nitnu mitzvos el tzarif bohen. So what is it for? It's for us. It's for us. But he expands on that. And that itself is open to several interpretations, but he expands on that. Listen, he says like this. He says, V'chi ma'ich paslo l'akash baruch hu b'misha tovel b'memso b'misha tovel b'memso chosav kortov. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu care? Does it make a difference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu if someone went into a mikveh with 40 saw, or if someone went into a mikveh of 40 saw minus one drop? Havelo nitna Torah el kedei letzareif bohen es habrios. What's the implication of there? U'kishem sha'atorah kula letzareif kach dikduke mitzvah shebo letzareif nitnu. Just like, what's the just like? Just like the whole Torah is litzarev, so too the dikduke mitzvah are litzarev. Isn't that part of the whole Torah? Mipnei shema bein no se nevela nogea bo. What's the difference if someone touches a nevela, if someone carries a nevela, if someone touches a nevela? El lekabel scha. Now we moved into a little bit of that, to be mekabel scha. To learn these mitzvos, to understand them, right? To understand the dikduke mitzvos. Uma bein zov, the shichvas zaro shel zov, shezuva shel zov metamiv masa, v'chein din v'mishkav shichvas zaro. He goes through all, he's saying all these particulars. Why is it important to learn, to know all these particulars? El lekabel schar. Not that the tumah of the zov is any different than Shechvas Zaro. It's not that there's a reality to all these things. It's not that there's a reality to Mem Saw in the mikvah. I mean, that's what he's trying to, right? It's interesting. He says, he says, interesting. See what he says later on. He says, a sheretz shetumaso kala sheinim matame ela b'maga. A sheretz is only matame through maga. V'chikevun she sheretz tumaso kala. Since a sheretz only has a tumakala, mipnei ma tima bo akosav be'etu beged v'or v'sak v'chol kli shenemar v'chol asher yipol mehem el tocho. V'chein b'tan v'kirayim, sh'nem v'chol ashi yipol min nevelosom olav yitma. V'chein b'zera, sh'nem v'chol v'chi yipol min nevelosom al kol zera. V'chi yiton mayim al zera, shema tomar sh'ein din zeh b'nevela. Okay, he says, Ela sh'dibra Torah behova sh'ein darken shal b'nei adam lehevi shichva zera l'hapil b'tana. V'lo nevela l'hapil b'tana, v'asheretz darkali b'tana. Sh'u matzu b'batam, v'fika chischila ha'mishna v'sheretz. I'm trying to explain this thing. But what's the... But what's the idea of here? It's interesting. What's the idea of here? With Tzarif is a Brios. I know this is it doesn't have anything to do with what we're really doing, but what's his point? What is the idea of Tzarif is a Brios? Dikduke mitzvah, he says. Dikduke mitzvah too. What's this chilek over here? Shem sha Torah kul l'tzarif, kach dikduke mitzvah shebo l'tzarif. And what's this example of dikduke mitzvah? Ma bein nosei nevel l'nogea bo. I mean, dikduke mitzvah means the... he doesn't count memso and the mikvah as dikduke mitzvah for some reason. That's saying the finer divisions. The finer divisions. I don't know. What do you say? What do you say? Yeah. Right. I mean, I have to think about it a little more. It sounds like he's saying that, I think something like you're saying, BMAC. I think like something like the, that a system that you have to understand and use your mind for and adhere to, that itself is mitzayif as a brios. Right? That takes you away from living like an animal. Mitzayif as a brios means that not that it makes a difference whether you shech from the neck or from the back, but it makes a difference that there's a system that you have to adhere to, and that you have to analyze its details. That itself is a beneficial thing. Not that the meat shechted from the neck is better for you, or meat shechted from the animal killed from the neck is a harmful thing. But there had to be some sort of a system, because that's what man needs.
But does it need a system like this? Thank you, understand. Like, does it need a system just so?
His mind perceives. Now, he's saying it's similar to what the Sefer Yikarim says. A man has to. Letzarifus Abrios means to say that his actions should be should man has a certain part of him that sees things conceptually, right? That his actions should be guided by that element. So he sees that there's an idea of shear and 40 saw, and there's a concept that you need shear. And there's a concept of an entity of a mikvah, and he understands that shear is part of that entity. Then, when he goes into the mikvah and he knows it's 40 saw and not 40 saw less than one drop, that means to say that now his physical existence is determined really by his intellectual recognition. Physically, a person will say, I'm wet. What's the difference? I'm wet. I went into basically a big puddle. What's the difference? Right? But halachically, it's like the Rav's halachic man. He sees a different thing. Halachic man sees a different physical thing. He sees a different reality. And he's living his actions within that reality. He doesn't live his actions in the natural physical world. He lives his actions in the halachic world. That is what raises a man up. That really purifies a person. See, the intellectuals, what they call the intellectuals, they speak highly, highfalutin lectures and symposium, but they live in a very base existence, like a college professor, that type of a. Find their life. They can live very on a basic level, but they profess great things. But if you don't have a system, if you don't have actually a system where you can live in line with some intellectual ideal, then you lack a unification of the person.
Why is your system?